From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the Senate passes an aid package with nothing for the border. The Supreme Court begins its case concerning Trump and supersized gambling this weekend. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. This week, we'll hear from Senator Tommy Tuberville on the Senate aid package. Lawyer Jeff Clark helps us with the Supreme Court's opening arguments, and Professor John Kite exposes the planned gambling losses associated with this weekend's Super Bowl. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins from Thursday's edition of Washington Watch Live.
Well, after a lively week on Capitol Hill that saw the border agreement collapse and revealed deep rifts among many Senate Republicans, the Senate voted this afternoon to advance a $95 billion emergency spending bill that includes $61 billion for Ukraine and $14 billion for Israel, but does not include border security measures. Will the Senate put foreign aid above closing our own southern border? And will such measures remain DOA in the House? Joining me now to discuss this is Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama. He serves on four Senate committees, including the Senate Armed Services Committee and the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. Coach, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. So quite a week in the Senate. Give us the latest. Is the Senate going to pass this bill that will fund security for Ukraine, but not the U.S.?
I'm afraid so. We've got a lot of senators up here that think that borders all over the world are more important than our borders. Tony, I just do not understand it. We got a great opportunity to hold the Democrats accountable and not give any money anywhere else until our border is secure. The problem is we've been negotiating, not we, but some people on both sides in kind of closed secret negotiations, and negotiations ended up, we basically got what we thought we'd get, nothing that changed. If they would just go by the laws, Tony, that we have on the books that President Trump was using, it'd be a no-brainer, but they wanted to change. This bill basically changed everything to what Joe Biden's been doing for 3 years to make him look like he's been doing the right thing. So most of us voted it down, got it out of the way. We thought we were going to continue to work on it, make it better. But we've got a bunch of, for some reason, senators on a week off next week going to Ukraine and Munich to the Defense Security Council meetings. And I guess they want to take a check over there. But I wouldn't want to be on that plane knowing that I'm taking a check to close somebody else's borders and just leaving ours wide open, because that's exactly what's happened.
You know, Senator, I've been around a while. I've watched this process. This is one of the only leverage points that Republicans have. And when you're negotiating, you find out what the other side wants, and then that's what you use to extract what you want. For some reason, this administration, the Democratic Party, enamored with funding for Ukraine, they have made very clear they want this. And if we're going to let this pass with not attaching or securing some type of provisions for our own border, I don't see another measure coming through that would allow us to do that.
Tony, in 3 years going on four that I've been up here, this is the only time we've had any kind of leverage against the Democrats. And it's something they want. They want to fund Ukraine for some reason. I haven't voted to give a dime. Now, I want them to do well, but all we've done is funded mass killings over there, Ukrainians and Russians. We need to get this thing over with. Nobody has negotiated. I'm anxious to see what Tucker Carlson has done with his interview with Vladimir Putin that's coming out. But the whole thing about this is the Democrats want an open border. They're globalist. All of them are. Some of them say they're not, but they are. They don't care about the American citizen. They care about transitioning our country into something else and holding on to power. All these people are they're not citizens, but they're still counted in the census and redistricting. And what it's going to do, it's going to change congressional seats. It's going to move more to their direction. And it's just devastating to the people that that work hard in this country, that pay about 50% taxes to either state or local or federal government, and makes it harder on them.
Well, you also know, Senator Tuberville, that this is a security issue for our nation. We're talking about helping Ukraine fight their battles. We know that there have been those that have come across the border, some of them caught, many of them not, who want to do harm to us. They're here not because they want a nice job or because they're looking for a better living for their family. They're coming here to do us harm.
My understanding, Tony, just the last couple of months, we've stopped 50 people coming across the border that have been members of Al-Qaeda, and they had just been released into the country. It's absolutely amazing to me. You got to take your hat off to Governor Abbott, and I wish he had done it sooner, but better late than never, of just basically taking everything into his own hands and saying, we're closing our border. Enough is enough. But, you know, every border is a border state. Now, look at these inner cities. I feel bad for the people trying to pay the taxes just to keep up with what's going on. The police, the law enforcement is absolutely being attacked. And it's just devastating. And we are going to have another 9/11. Christopher Wray, the FBI director, at a hearing about 6 months ago said, it's coming. Our borders are open. People are coming across the border. But these Democrats don't care. They won't. Power, and they won't vote.
Now, I feel pretty confident in conversations with the House Speaker that if this bill does move out of the Senate, it's not going to go anywhere in the House. So where do you think we end up?
Well, I'm counting my blessings that happens. And we're staying up here. We're supposed to be gone today and gone for about 12, 14 days and working back home in our districts. But we're going to stay here till Tuesday so they can at least get a shot and tell the people in Ukraine and Israel that they're fighting hard for their borders. Now, I'm all for Israel. I'm vote today to send over what they need. But I saw yesterday in a New York Times article that Israel is sending weapons that we've given to Israel. They're sending those weapons to Ukraine. Nobody can give you an answer on that or why that's happening, who gave the authority to that. But there's all kind of things going on behind the scenes, Tony. This is not the America you and I have known for all of our lives. And hopefully we can change the White House, because that's the whole answer. Everybody says, what do we got to do? We got to change the White House. If we don't change the White House and we can continue down this road, we'll never get it back. So we're going to try to get some kind of border deal, but they're not going to give it to us. We're going to try to slow down the spending. We're almost $35 trillion in debt. Our economy is, everybody said, well, it's great. Look at the stock market. Our economy is tanked because we're borrowing $80,000 a second right now, 4.6 million a minute. Now you think about that. And we're already almost $35 trillion in debt. And everybody says, well, how come the economy is so good? Because it's on government borrowed money.
Right.
And sooner or later, we got to pay it back.
It's a house of cards. It's a house of cards. By the way, the appropriations bills that the Senate has not passed, they haven't had time to do those. If you get a chance to talk to Senator Schumer, since you all are staying in, maybe you could do some of those appropriations bills.
They're not going to do that, Tony. He wants an omnibus bill. He wants a bill where he can just take all the pork and everything and throw into a big pile and pay off all these mayors and governors and all these blue states. It's a joke when it comes to a budget. The whole place is a joke, to be honest with you. We could be working on it, you know, daily, but we'd never do anything other than vote on nominations and worry about giving money to foreign countries that shouldn't be getting money before we help the American people first.
Right. And that's, as you said, it's up to elections. Very quickly, we got like 30 seconds left. You were over at the Supreme Court today. Are you encouraged by what you heard at the court?
Yeah, I think it's going to end up the way it should go. Again, this is not for Republican or Democrat, because if you were to take Trump off of the ballot, you'd have red states taking Biden off the ballot. So, it is what it is. But, you know, I think the big news for the day, Tony, was elderly man with a poor memory. They're letting Joe Biden off because, I don't know if you've seen this, they're letting him off with having all his documents. Elderly man with a poor memory. Man, our country's come along.
I'm actually going to talk about that next, Senator. Thanks so much for joining us, Coach. Always great to see you.
Thank you, Billy. God bless.
Folks, we're going to talk about that next. We're going to talk about this double standard of justice. Former President Donald Trump looking at 450 years for allegedly mishandling classified documents, while President Biden gets off scot-free. We're also going to talk about the Supreme Court case today, arguing whether or not former President Trump can stay on the ballot in Colorado. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. A lot more straight ahead.
Most of us have wrestled with deep questions about the meaning of life at one time or another. Thankfully, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview's latest publication, titled An Introduction to Worldview, provides the answers. With this new resource, we invite you, your family, and your church to evaluate what makes up a worldview and to see how a biblical worldview provides the most satisfying answers to life's biggest questions. To read the full publication, visit frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
Welcome back to Washington Watch, the website, tonyperkins.com. Lots of resources there for you and contact information for our guests. All right, some big news today. In addition to the Supreme Court having oral arguments, in a case that could have a major impact on the 2024 presidential election, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments to decide former President Trump's eligibility to hold office again based upon Colorado's decision to prohibit the former president from placement on the state's Republican primary ballot. Looked like it leaned toward common sense that the state doesn't have the ability to do that. Another issue, and Coach Tuberville mentioned that on the way out, was the special counsel, Robert Herr, releasing his report, 388 pages, saying that the president, that is President Biden, willfully retained and disclosed classified materials following his vice presidency, but he recommended that the commander-in-chief not face charges. And this is a quote that a lot of people are picking up on from the report, said he would likely, and this is a quote, he would likely present himself to a jury as he did during our interview of him as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory, end quote. Joining me now to talk about this, Jeff Clark, former U.S. Assistant Attorney General and now Senior Fellow and Director of Litigation at the Center for Renewing America. Jeff, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be here, Tony. And it's a historic day, I think, both with this Robert Herr report you just covered and with the Supreme Court oral argument in the Colorado case.
Well, I think the one that is probably the easiest to handle based upon the oral arguments might be the Supreme Court. It looked like it tilted in favor of former President Donald Trump and not Colorado.
I think that's right. And look, I think it was a complete smackdown. It's like, you know, WWE Smackdown Day. I've rarely seen an argument of such high profile that was, according to the mainstream media, given so much hype, so much pomp of, you know, this could be the end of Trump, even though there were some commentators on the left recognizing that it was a long shot. They really pumped this up with Judge Luttig and others. But I listened to the whole oral argument. My listen of it is that this is going to be at least an 8-1 decision, and it might be unanimous. I think the question mark for me is full question mark on Justice Sotomayor. Will she be convinced to go along with the majority on one or more rationales? And there's probably a half question mark I have on Justice Jackson. But she seemed to be very attracted to the theory that the president was deliberately not listed in the list of offices that you're disqualified from under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, because that list starts with senator, then goes to representative. It's a hierarchically arranged list, and the president's not there, the vice president's not there. And she came back to that several times. So I think this is disastrous for those who were predicting that President Trump was going to be held guilty of an insurrection. And I think the Supreme Court is going to make relatively short work of this, Tony.
You know, Jeff, all of these things that go back to Donald Trump's presidency you know, the congressional investigations, the indictments, or the impeachments. It's kind of like it's this echo chamber that the left has. They get themselves all worked up into a froth, and when you actually look at the facts, it doesn't work out in their favor.
Right. Oftentimes that's true, but I think that their game is larger than just the game of whether they win a particular case. They, you know, President Trump really has to win all of these things. He should win all of them, right. But they right. hope that, you know, some ball falls through the cracks, and they love the drumbeat of one case after another after another. And they're also forcing all these cases to go to the Supreme Court, and they're eating up his capital, right? At some point, right, you know, litigants right. get so noisy, the court kind of says, you know, can't we just kind of be done with this?
But I think the American people also see that they're starting to see what's going on here. None of this stuff is sticking. Yes, it is wearing him down. I'm amazed he's still standing. But I think they're losing credibility with each one of these. And at least I that's my sense, that Americans are starting to see through this.
I think you're right. And I had said very early on when they started this whole lawfare campaign that the optimal number of cases to bring against President Trump, if you're an evil-minded person on the other side who wants to do this, whether the cases are meritorious or not, and I think all the cases are not meritorious, is you bring two. Why two? Because if you bring one, you know, maybe one fails, you want to have a backup. But if you bring three, four, five, you bring civil cases, you bring cases from cities, you know, you bring, cases under RICO, you bring cases under national security, the Espionage Act, et cetera, it starts to look like there's just one person they want to take out because they don't want to run against him and because they're in fear of what happens if he returns to the presidency. And I do think the American people see through that, Tony.
Speaking of things they see through, Jeff, I think they're beginning to see through our system of justice, and they're seeing a double standard. I mean, speak to this elderly man with a poor memory.
Tony, obviously I have not gotten in the short time that this news is broken through the whole report that Robert Herb put out. But, I think this is predictable. Everybody knew that this is where Biden and Garland had lined things up to go. And, I think Herr was essentially kind of working within his implicit marching orders. And so he's come to the conclusion he's not going to prosecute him. It seems like he's doing that under what I'll call the senility exception, that, you know, President Biden has a poor memory at this point. He didn't always have a poor memory. He wasn't always old. And as Biden himself was noting, this goes back to the time, not just that he was vice president for Obama, but to the time where he was a senator. So did he have a poor memory during all of those periods of time? I don't think so. So, you know, maybe if he testified, he would present himself as a sympathetic elderly man to a jury. But the argument of prosecutors, if they were being energetic, would be, but you didn't have those conditions at this time. And, you know, you knew when you took these documents from Afghanistan and other national security documents that this was a serious matter, right? If you're applying the same standards to him as you are to President Trump, even if you imagine that he was equal to a president, but he wasn't at any time equal to a president. He's actually more poorly situated than Trump, right? Because he was only a vice president, and vice presidents don't have declassification authority unless the president gives it to him. And then he was a senator where he had zero declassification authority. So this, it's just a whitewash, Tony. It's really another travesty.
But if it is true, it should have some bearing on his reelection as president. Jeff, we got to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to see you. All right, folks, stick around. More after this.
Are you tired of the mainstream media censoring Christian and conservative voices? Are you looking for news about the most important topics of the day presented to you through the lens of biblical truth? FRC has the answer. The Washington Stand. The Washington Stand is Family Research Council's outlet for news and commentary from a biblical worldview, covering issues from abortion, sexuality, and religious liberty, to education, to what's happening on Capitol Hill and around the world. The Washington Stand reports on the top stories affecting faith, family, and freedom that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about. Subscribe today to receive the latest news from the Washington Stand in your inbox every weekday morning by texting TWS to 67742 or by visiting WashingtonStand.com. Again, that's TWS to 67742.
Washington Watch, good to have you with us on this Thursday. So what are the odds that I would talk about sports here on Washington Watch? Normally, not too high. However, a big game is coming up this weekend. You may have heard about it. I think it's called the Super Bowl, right? Look, as states fall over themselves to legalize and promote gambling, an estimated 68 million Americans are expected to place more than $23 billion worth of bets on the outcome. Now, for years, the various American sports leagues have distanced themselves from gambling, but not anymore. They've become as anxious to get in on the action as many states and local governments, all with little concern that gambling is anything but a level playing field for those who participate. Joining me now to discuss this is Dr. John Kent, Professor Emeritus of Business Administration at the University of Illinois. Professor Kent has studied and been outspoken on the issue of gambling for the past four decades. In fact, I worked with his material back when I was in the Louisiana legislature quite a few years ago. Professor Kent, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to see you.
Nice to see you again, Tony. And I know you feel a bit like the prophet Jeremiah. You predicted all of these social negatives 35 years ago, and the academics backed you up, and you are absolutely right.
Well, let's talk about, it wasn't too long ago that the NFL was actually working to prohibit legalized gambling, but it looks like now the sports leagues are all on board.
Yeah, the money's just too big, so they're all going after the bucks. And they don't care about the social and economic consequences. I really have to read for all the gamblers out there, I have to read the Wall Street Journal from last year's Super Bowl weekend. And this is their quote, not me. Quote, the delays in betting mean that sports books are one or two plays ahead of millions of viewers, end quote. So streaming sports gamblers are, quote, dead in the water, end quote. Now, this is what is called past posting. The plays have already been run, and people are still taking bets on these. So the sports books will take the bets if they're going to win. And they won't take the bets if they're going to lose. But they know in advance what for millions of players. So all these hotshot young people out there who think that this is a level playing field, it is not a level playing field. And what are deemed to be the regulations or the color of legality and the color of regulations. Millions of people are being cheated on sports gambling.
Well, and, I mean, that's the nature. That's the nature of gambling, as I have found. But I want to talk about the fallout of this. I mean, since we started working on this many years ago, we now have online gambling, and of course, online is pretty significant when it comes to sports gambling. Let's talk about the fallout, the addictions, the impact. What are we seeing out there today?
Well, the press, mainstream press, got this 10 years ago. You can see right here on Newsweek cover, they're going after kids. And the American Psychiatric Association has compared and designated gambling addiction. This is an addiction. Gambling addiction is comparable to drug addiction, and gambling addiction online is comparable to cocaine, crack cocaine addiction, or fentanyl addiction. That's my beautiful wife there on the phone.
I think you're probably addicted to her, though, aren't you?
Oh, I'm certainly addicted to her.
Well, that's a good addiction.
I caught her flirting with the pool boy the other day. Good news is I'm the pool boy. So
go right ahead.
Let me mention something about 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes did a report on this on Sunday, February 4th. And the head of the Gambling Association, the main lobbying group in Washington, D.C., gave the following quote, quote, "I don't believe that there is an addiction to mobile betting," end quote. Now, he went on to say more about that. But I have a report back here that you've probably seen, Tony, back from the 1990s, financed by the gambling industry. Right. They were trying to push the American Psychiatric Association into not declaring this an addiction.
Yeah.
So they know that this is an addiction. They've spent millions of dollars trying to move academia the other way.
Right. And we've seen with social media platforms how they craft it so it is addictive. And you combine that with gambling, this is explosive. All right, we're going to run out of time, Professor Kent. So what do parents need to be doing? What steps do we need to be taking?
Well, parents need to be going online and seeing what their kids are taking to bed with them at night. This is click your slots, lose your tots right here on the phone. Click your mouse, lose your house. This is a real addiction that is very detrimental to people, and people need to realize it's an addiction. Young men need to realize, in particular, need to realize you can't win. You can't beat AI.
Right.
You can't win. And they're going to sucker you in and take you to the clinic.
And people feel like, well, I'll just stick a toe in. I'll just check it out. But it sucks you in. And before you know it, as I said, get the mouse, you lose your house. Professor Kent, always great to see you. Thank you for continuing to stay on this issue.
Well, thank you for all that you do. I DVR your program every day. It's a great information and educational resource, along with other informational resources. You do a great job letting people know what's going on.
Thank you, Professor.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. And folks, look, it is a concern for our kids, but it's a concern for everyone. And we need to stop it at the local and the state level as well. Speak out against this thing.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. To join us in our 21 Days of Prayer and take the pledge, text the word PRAY and the number 21 to 67742. It's never too late to start praying for our country. Again, that's PRAY 21 to 67742. I'm David Salkeld. Thank you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.